Welcome to Moray's podcast series, Speaking of Changing Legal, where we discuss the leading trends and innovations reshaping the way legal work is done. This episode features Moray's Kenzo Tsushima and Haley Day as our hosts for today's topic on talking AI for legal ops, how Gen AI is amplifying value for legal services.
Thank you guys so much for having us today. We're excited for this conversation about generative AI and legal operations. My name is Haley Day. I'm a senior director and a legal operations consultant at Moray. I'm also a Florida licensed attorney, and I've been in legal technology consulting for over a decade. Today, I'm joined by my colleague, Kenzo Tsushima. He is a managing director. Kenzo?
Haley, always great when our paths cross and we get to have a fun conversation. So for everyone, my name is Kenzo Tsushima. As Haley mentioned, I'm a managing director for Moray in our legal solutions engineering department, where we really explore the intersection between technology, process, and resourcing. So kind of excited to get into all of those subcomponents. I think, you know, for you and I, right, Haley, I mean, for decades, we've been looking at legal operations, how it's kind of matured from the early 2000s to where we look at it, where the words generative AI are kind of thrown out willy-nilly. And I think there's a lot of separating the hype from what's actually driving value, especially as we close out 2024. A lot of folks are looking at what strategic initiatives to pursue in 2025. So I think this conversation couldn't have come at a better time, because when we're looking at 2025, there's going to be a lot of action off of whatever hype or whatever kind of preparation folks have been making in 2024.
Absolutely, Kenzo. I think that everybody is looking ahead at how they can use Gen AI in their day-to-day workflows and efficiencies. And I think that's great. That's exciting. I really feel like we have a lot of people thinking they're playing catch up as well. So we're entering into a lot of those conversations.
Yeah, and it's really about value. I think law firms, corporate legal departments, any legal function is evaluating value at this point. So it's not about how many heads you have. It's not about how you can manually do all of these different legal exercises. It's really about how you can keep your attorneys happy, how you can provide clients with the best possible and fastest results. So generative AI has been really interesting, because it's essentially easy to implement and easy to experiment with, right? So in past iterations of legal tech, it's been these huge exercises to drive adoption, to get people on board, to actually get attorneys excited to use technology that ultimately a lot of times they're forced into, because there have been so much, you know, implementation costs and so many sunk costs into the platform that they're essentially along for the ride. With this, it's a much more nimble process where people and attorneys and, you know, legal paraprofessionals can essentially experiment with this technology, because there is not as much training, there's not as much knowledge transfer. Really, it's plug and play. So you can start testing, experimenting, and within a week, see whether this is making your life easier as an attorney and a legal professional. And that's a really interesting part of kind of how this whole market has developed.
Let's dig into that a little bit, Kenzo, because you mentioned a couple things about our previous investments in our legal technology, right? And you talked about how AI, investing in a generative AI tool, is a lot more nimble of an opportunity. We're entering those conversations with our clients where they're saying, but we invested in the ELM, we invested in the CLM, we have the IPMS tool. Why do we now need another tool? And I'd really love to get your insight on that, because yeah, these are all tools that at one point promised us that workflow efficiency, right? It promised us that streamlined and that optimization. And in many ways, it got us there, but then it left us with a lot of disparate systems. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
I think having tools for the sake of having tools is essentially a fool's errand. We have to make these tools actually work for us. So for example, all of the generative AI, you know, solutions we're going to talk about today, they are best implemented and best utilized within other ecosystems, right? So some of our more AI solutions are best leveraged within an optimal CLM environment. So these things really are symbiotic with one another. You're not meant to use anything in isolation, right? So, and especially as I talked about kind of these large implementation costs with either ELM or CLM technologies, you don't want to have those sunk costs. You want to optimize that environment, right? There's three ways to work within legal technology. You can build, you can buy, or you can optimize. Typically, optimize is going to be the quickest and most cost-effective way to make your prior solutions work. But sometimes that means layering on a new emerging generative AI technology to actually get the most out of your platform. So really, that's what these More AI solutions that we've developed, and it's kind of, I'm proud to say within Moray that, and I won't take credit for coming up with the name. I think it's a fantastic name. It just kind of rolls off the tongue, but that's why we created the solutions umbrella. It's exactly that. It's to make systems work for attorneys and not to disrupt anyone, not to create insane change management exercises, but instead make lawyers happy to show up to work and happy to engage in tasks that might have previously taken them 2 hours and now it takes them 15 minutes, and see what that does for not only margins, profit, efficiencies, but also what it does for attrition, for just general working work-life balance. I think there are so many soft metrics here that where we have AI trickling down, and I know there's obviously a lot of fear as well in terms of job security, but and we'll get into that a little bit later. But I, for me, it's such a net positive in almost every single area, and that's really the exciting part.
So, Kenzo, I think that's a great point. And I wanted to follow up with, are you suggesting for our legal operations professionals or our GCs that want the budget, they want to make the business case for using Gen AI in the legal department, that they look outside of those larger tools and they look to an additional provider or something to layer on instead of expecting their ELM or their CLM to meet their AI needs?
I think obviously it's easiest to leverage, you know, if your CLM or ELM has an AI module, of course you should evaluate that because it's easy plug and play. There's no sophisticated integrations you need to explore. At the same time, it would be a little bit of an immature practice to just take that for granted, say, this can do everything I need it to do, and not actually explore what is going to drive that value, right? So if you have, for example, an AI tool within your CLM that does, you know, automated metadata extraction, but that's not actually what the attorneys need. The attorneys need a redline assistant. So you have to really evaluate the needs of your legal department to see what solution is going to meet them where they are in terms of growth, in terms of scalability, in terms of their workload. Otherwise, you know, again, it's paying for additional modules and implementing additional modules for the sake of trying saying you're testing new technology. But really, you want to see what the need of your legal department is. And it might be multiple needs, right? So for example, if you have different business units within legal, the IP practice might be using a much different generative AI technology than your procurement department, for example. It's not a one size fits all, but because generative AI's uptime and implementation are so much quicker than traditional machine learning and traditional legal technologies, it's easy to kind of explore different things to see what can work across your organization. But I'll turn this around on you in terms of what you've seen in the market and what you've seen with clients. Where do you see that demand really coming from? Is it experimentation? Is it they really feel stuck and pot committed in certain solutions? Do they want to kind of try a lot of different providers? What has been the general consensus within the market?
That's a great question because, as you know, we work with both corporate legal and law firms, and it really does depend on our departments. I mean, I frequently ask my customers, let's talk about your top three initiatives. Where are your top things that you see an opportunity for you to increase your efficiency, for you to increase your legal department's value to the organization? And I try to strategize with them. These are the top three interest areas for you, for your department as a leader. And okay, how do they align with your business goals? So which one builds the most value first, right? What's the easiest win? But repeated ask from clients, regardless of whether they're law firm or in-house, is redlining and drafting assistance,
Right.
being able to chat with something that culls data across all their disparate systems. And that's one that I really can't harp on enough that I think Gen AI is really so perfect for. I think all of our fears about it, we have to put aside and consider the value it brings to us by what it can do and the power it can bring by looking across all of our systems. That's what I love about it. We don't have to replace our ERP. We don't have to replace our ELM. I don't have to get on, go from Google to Microsoft Teams. Like, I can actually use something that goes across multiple data sets and pulls and does summarization for me. So, from an adoption standpoint, which is always the quickest part of my conversation with my clients after they get done talking about what their goals are, I am like, okay, so let's talk about adopting it, because that's hard with lawyers, right? Is what's going to make it easiest for us to get to the answer? And that's where we're at. That's Gen AI gets you an answer fast. It's our legal operations people get it more than anybody, right? They were like our original Chat GPT people. They were the people that had the answer. They were the people that did the data mining. So in many ways, we're not replacing them by any means, because there is no shortage of work for operations to do. There's no shortage of work for you to be the expert, right? It's just speeding up the process.
It's a really good point you made, which is essentially that, and you hear the word replacement so much, and I get, I get a little frustrated with that because I think, again, to the hype perspective, I think a lot of people have been naysayers because with any sort of change management exercise, folks get nervous, right? But
Of
generative AI
course.
isn't here to replace legacy legal tech. It's not here to replace legacy legal professionals. It is supposed to augment both of those things, right? So you brought up the example of CLM before. So let's take a really rudimentary example, right? If you have a CLM and you need to, essentially a readout of how many active NDAs you have at one point, you hit the export, it downloads it, you go through Excel, you slap a filter, and maybe it takes, I don't know, 10 minutes to do all that, right? But what if you use a solution like we've designed with More AI Legal Companion? Essentially, you can just query and interrogate your contracts, right? So ask it an open-ended question with a chatbot. Hey, how many active NDAs do I have? And then within, not 10 minutes, but within 15 seconds, it'll be like, you have
Seconds.
798 active NDAs, and it can just read it out for you. So I think that's cool, where we can essentially, and to your point, where kind of legal ops professionals were the OGs of this, you would ping them on Teams with the same types of questions, right? You'd say, hey, how many active NDAs I have? Now they can focus on more strategic matters because we're not bothering them so much with these rudimentary or administrative questions.
A more in-depth scenario that I
Haley,
think
I'm so sorry.
my users,
You froze one more
am I
time.
freezing again?
Yeah, you got to start that one over.
An even more in-depth scenario, Kenzo, is summarization of documents and board reports and all of those tedious things. That's another area that I get repeated requests on, and I've used our More AI contracts to run through those reports and generate them for me. It's every quarter is needs help with that. They've got a QBR they're prepping for. They've got a presentation to the board, and they need to have a summary of what happened at the last board meeting. Those are traditional requests that our users and our clients get every day. And just a solution like we have, or any type of AI tool that we can interact with to do those summaries, is a huge lift in people's day-to-day work.
Ultimately, all of these organizations have a ton of data, right? So whether it's on SharePoint, whether it's on someone's OneDrive, whether it's in your CLM, this is all about making your data actionable, right? So to your point about board presentations or collating this or summarizing this, these are typically heavy lifts, right? Maybe because of disorganization, maybe because it lives on different systems. The generative AI is here essentially to make your life easier, right? So you type in a chatbot, put together a table of all of my outstanding obligations that I have coming up within the next 3 months. And again, that's a one sentence prompt, but that might have taken in the past days, plural, where again, and I think prompt engineering is an art that people are going to have to practice and get good at. But the good news is that even if you write the wrong prompt and it doesn't give you exactly what you need, you wait 20 seconds for the system to process it, then you try again, right? There is so much experimentation and you have the opportunity to always tinker with your process because the ease of use for generative AI solutions is so simple. So I love seeing when we go to market with our more AI solutions. My favorite thing is when we're using it internally and just seeing unbelievable results because we should be passionate about what we're pushing to market. And ultimately, we are. For example, in our legal companion solution, I use Discovery every single day because sometimes I just have a 40-page thing that I'm not going to control F through. I throw it in, that takes about 5 seconds, and I just ask it three questions because I need quick answers, right? So, and this, we obviously live in the legal world where we're both lawyers. Fortunately, no one holds it against us too much. But there are policies, there's HR artifacts, there are long-form documents that modules within our legal companion, like help desk, can essentially collate and become a central repository of information. So one of the stupidest examples is, I think actually you were one of the folks who pinged me, do we get off for Columbus Day, right? It was you and like five other people because no one knew if we got off for Columbus Day. So you asked me, I asked someone else, but all these cons, right? What if we had a centralized repository of information with our HR policy that we could just type that in? Hey, do we get off for Columbus Day? System takes 3 seconds. It says no or yes. That would simplify a lot of these things instead of having these team messages, these emails, et cetera. So it's a way for us to just get these quick answers essentially, and allowing you to go think about other strategic and legal matters without having to be like, hey, is Monday a holiday? Do I need to plan for that, et cetera. But let me ask you, in terms of kind of your day-to-day, where have you personally seen kind of the greatest gains in this generative AI technology for your own productivity?
So I personally love to follow up after client meetings with quick recaps. And I have done that for years as a lawyer, as somebody in sales and technology consulting. You always want to follow up with people, leave them with a summary. And it's a very simple thing, but I love in Teams when I'm doing my conversation, if I ask to record it, Copilot does a wonderful summary for me. And it's something so small, but it has really sped up my process. I think it also increases my customer service to my clients because inevitably, if I forgot to write something down before, then it wasn't there. I'm not going to go back and listen to the recording. Like I don't get to do that. I don't have
No one
time for
does.
that most of the time. So I love that. It's just so nice just to have that support. And I never had that before. I've never had an admin. I've never had an intern, I've never had a note taker. So I loved that. And it's an easy thing. I know a lot of people love to use it to change tone. I don't use it as much on my emails, but if I find that I'm being too verbose because I like to say as much with as little words as possible, I will definitely use ChatGPT or Copilot. I'll ask it to shorten and tighten things up for me so I can get my point across quicker. I also love our More AI companion for doing discovery work. I am a little bit of a news and research, and sometimes when I want to provide feedback on something, I will ask too much of myself with what I can actually digest. So I'll put those things into More AI Companion and ask for a synopsis, do some of my own clarifications, double check a couple things here and there. If I want to go read specifically where it pulled something from, I'll go look at the document. And then I'll make a judgment call on how I feel about some research I read. And that's just it's a nice way to kind of digest things because we're really expected, regardless of what role or industry we're in, even if you're not a lawyer, I think everybody's expected to kind of know so much because there's so much information available. It's really hard without tools like those in the Gen AI space to help us digest it all.
And I
I'm
think
sure that you experience that, Kenzo, because I come to you on a regular basis with 50 million questions.
I think something you just said is really interesting. interesting, and it kind of is a perfect segue to talk about use cases because Copilot is amazing. I love using it. And to your point, no one in the history of meetings has rewatched an hour meeting, right? It's not something folks have time to do. It's not, frankly, a good use of time. But if you can have eight, actionable bullets after it, and it takes about 15 seconds to process, that's perfect. The one thing that I've gotten nervous about in the market is I've seen a lot of legal stakeholders trying to retrofit tools like Copilot into their legal environment. And I think Copilot is a great data aggregator. I think it's excellent for kind of these administrative tasks. Where I think it falls short is specifically in the legal realm. I mean, it's part of the ethos behind why we created the More AI Solutions umbrella. It's not to essentially just put another generative AI tool in the market, it's to address all of the use cases that we've heard from clients as pain points over the years, right? So, for example, we've kind of talked about discovery and interrogating your contracts, but even for metadata extraction within your contracts, which used to be a manual process, we have both More AI Contract Analysis and More AI Legal Companion. They both have extraction capabilities, but what we do as a consultative organization to bring the maximum value to clients is we go in and we see which of our tools is going to work better. Even though they both do a good job in that capacity, there's certain, whether it's high quantity, whether it's very bespoke contracts, the level of difficulty, the average number of pages, there's so many criteria that as consultants we're evaluating to make sure that we're providing clients with the right technology. So and that's where I think the market might be lagging a little bit is there's a lot of shiny new tools and people are trying to use e-discovery tools for contract review, for example, but that is not an optimal situation. Ultimately, one of the biggest the two main value props are save time and save money, right? But you're not going to do either if you're using the wrong tool for your specific use case. In fact, you're just going to waste time trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. So I want us as an organization to make sure that we educate the market that if you have a specific pain point, we're going to meet you where that pain point is. We're not just going to try to evangelize specific technologies because we think it's the prettiest thing on the market, if that makes sense.
I think that's such a good point. I mean, we do have things that we work with. One thing I love about Mirai is that we use our own technology. We also use a lot of our technology in-house. So we have truly walked the walk and adopted best practices with a lot of the tools that we're partners with or that we offer to the market. However, if we find that our tools are not the best solutions, but we have a partner or we've heard of another legal tech partner, we'll go out and research that individual vendor and bring them back to the client. So that's, as consultants, like we do have the benefit of getting to play with all the tools and getting to hear everybody's customer service experience and getting to hear how that integration really went, how that
Absolutely.
implementation really went. Those things are invaluable when we're working with our clients on taking this step for Gen AI because Gen AI has some of our other SaaS tools. It has some unknowns. It has some sensitivities in legal, right? We're worried about what's getting trained. We're worried about what of our data is getting used. Those are all things that as a lot of us are lawyers here at Mirai. Those are all things that we've already thought through. We've vetted our own products. We've vetted our vendors on all of their security measures before we even come to our clients. So I couldn't agree more that when you get to be in this space of working with a partner or of trying to assess what's best for you, work with the partner that is in the position we are. We've walked the walk, we've talked it. Where we've been through it, we've had the same concerns, and we can really address those from day one.
Yeah, we're the trusted advisors for legal departments, right? So one way to quickly lose your credibility is to recommend the wrong solution. So I love what you kind of just said about us versus partnerships versus kind of the creativity we bring into the market. So take More AI Contract Analysis and More AI Legal Companion, right? We built the engine for More AI Contract Analysis in-house. We have a whole product management team developing it. We have engineers on it. And that is meant for specific use cases. It's a great, for example, M&A tool to kind of run due diligence on thousands of contracts, right? More AI Legal Companion, as I mentioned, also has extraction capabilities, but The engine that powers the tool is third-party technology through a partnership. So just because that third-party technology versus what we've developed in-house, we're not going to recommend one over the other unless we understand exactly what your environment looks like, and then we'll make the recommendations based on your specific requirements. And I've mentioned it several times, but I think that's so unbelievably important because you have data, you have solutions, you have all of these buzzwords, generative AI, but getting down to the crux of this is value. Can we drive value for your environment? So I love the M&A example because it's one of the most difficult exercises that a legal department is going to undergo. There's a lot of, there's so much strategic planning that needs to happen. You need a combination of very senior resources, very junior resources. You have a lot of manual work, and you've had a lot of manual work from a legacy perspective. However, why not try to accelerate, especially because sometimes we're dealing with publicly traded clients. Sometimes we're dealing with time-sensitive things where there are milestone incentives. If something was going to take 8 months previously, why not experiment with the generative AI, have a tiger team implement a solution that can go through all of these due diligence artifacts really quickly, and then cut that down to 6 months? You can quantify the financial impact that those 2 months sped up for your enterprise. And then you go to, so instead of legal being the support function, you now go to the CFO. You say, I have now generated this much in cost savings or this much in revenue generation because of using this tool. And now you are a business partner to the finance department. You have a seat at the leadership table, and you're not just looked at a support function as well. So I know that's a little bit of a tangent, but it's so important because there is such a trickle-down effect with mere experimentation on a project basis by using generative AI tools.
It really is. It's such a great point, Kenzo, because a lot of our clients experience workloads that require heavy due diligence and doc review. So M&A is a great use case. We also see it with a lot of our compliance work, people trying to keep up to date on regulatory changes. AI is so wonderful for that. When I think back to the things that I used to do as a baby lawyer to keep track of that, it's kind of horrific.
We used to use Google Alerts, right? It would just pop up in
Oh
the
my gosh,
So
so
that's what we
many,
relied
so
on. We relied
many.
on Reuters giving us a press release and then having to be at the behest of how quickly they churned out that information, right?
Yes. It takes me back to many nights of reading tons of articles and alerts that I had received that day so that I could be abreast of changes for the morning. So yeah, I love the summarization tools and I love this kind of path that Gen AI is taking us on for streamlining efficiency and making us better professionals for our business, for our clients. Whether you're in-house or outside counsel, whoever you're serving, that speed of process and that reduction in effort. And I don't mean reduction in effort when I say losing your expertise. We have to be sharper than ever, right? Because we are relying on something else to give us that information. So I am not, that is not lost on me. I do not minimize that. We have to maintain our expertise, but I think it just allows us to provide such a better experience and such deeper knowledge for our clients because we can do so much more in a shorter amount of time. I know that you and I could talk about that forever, though.
We could. And I think I think 2024 has been a lot of that. It's been a lot of talking.
It
It's been a
has.
lot of consulting. It's been a lot of education, right? So I'm curious on your thoughts where you see 2025, because I feel like almost we've been building the foundation of a house for all of 2024 to get corporate legal departments ready, to get law firms ready for major transformational change. And everyone, I think, is waiting to a certain degree for budgets to reset in 2025 before they make this major push to do heavy lifts in terms of change management, in terms of technological implementation. But how do you see kind of maybe Q1, Q2 playing out in the market for 2025?
I think a lot of people are in very early stages still, Kenzo. People are still, at least in legal, I find that we're encouraging people to look outside of their large providers. So I think what we're going to see in Q2 is an influx of people going to RFP or RFI to get more information on some of these smaller vendors. To get more information on tools like ours, more AI Companion, and more AI contracts. I think that people are realizing that their needs are not served by one single solution. I think people are realizing that there are tools that do great in integration work and can do data cull and mining for them, and then summarization. So we're still very much in the process of people starting to consider what's outside the realm of what they've already invested in. And I'm not saying that their CLM won't service their need or their ELM won't have great summarization capabilities. It's just we're not seeing yet the ability for solutions to reach into other solutions and pull that data out. If I want to know what I spent on a matter or a claim, I need things from my ERP. I need things from my claims management system. I need things from the invoices. I might even need things from an intake form we got. And a lot of times for our clients, those aren't all in one system. They're not even
No, they
integrated
never are.
systems. Yeah.
And
And so
I
it's
want to
a
go.
lot of that.
Yeah, no, and I want to go. I want to go back to one of the things you said in terms of kind of you're going to see a lot of RFPs because I don't disagree with you. I
Yeah.
will preface this thought with I'm a big fan of RFPs. I think it's a mature process. I think you can really vet candidates and technologies in a robust way. However, I want to draw the distinction between, for example, RFPing a CLM provider versus RFP generative AI technology. So for CLM, it's very, yes, you can see a demo and yeah, you can go into UAT or test out a demo environment, but it ultimately you have to make a business decision on what is presented to you and hope it works out. So you've done all the due diligence, almost like an M&A activity, right? You've done the due diligence, you think you're prepared, but you have to choose a path, you have to implement, and then you have to hope it goes well in terms of change management, in terms of adoption, in terms of the technology actually working to your needs, right? Generative AI is very different because it's so nimble and easy to experiment with. So I do think there's going to be a lot of RFPs, but what I'd like to see corporate legals and law firms doing is just testing these out for a couple of months at a time. Perhaps paid POCs is the way to go and seeing what works for your legal department because you don't want to commit to a multi-year deal when your attorneys are going to hate a solution. You want them to be able to test and baseline different solutions to see what works for their daily activities, what is going to drive the most time savings, what is ultimately going to save your organization the most money at the end of the year. And a lot of these generative AI technologies are going to generate positive ROI within the first 6 months of using, if not sooner, right? So there's a lot of opportunity to essentially get your money back. And that allows for broad scale experimentation where you can test three different automated contract drafting solutions and see which ones you like the best, which ones have the best user interface, et cetera. So I think I would like to encourage the market, clients, et cetera, to really just try, have an open mind, put your ego to the side, which is a very human thing. And we're talking about AI, but put your ego to the side as much as you can and just really throw yourself into a new way of working. If you hate it, then you can always back out, right? So I think as much as we can, kind of be passionate, be creative, and encourage others to follow, I think we'll be in good shape in 2025.
I'm looking forward to it.
I hope so, but again, I don't expect the skepticism to die down in the next couple of months either. I think that will pervade the market. I think ultimately, I mean, we have some. We have some attorneys who recently learned how to use Teams, right? I mean, that's how delayed some of these exercises
We're
were.
still working on optimization with Teams, with our clients. And your comment about, going to RFP, it does bring some concern because who are you inviting, right? I love what you said. Just get out there and start playing with it. Ask your colleagues, go to your chat forums on Clock, go to Legal Operators and Running Legal Like a Business, go to Concero, find out what people are using and look at those things. So you kind of know what's out there. Call us. I love to talk about this all day. As you can see, you do too. And there are things that people don't even realize are great resources in the Gen AI space because there is a big differentiator with Gen AI. It's not just legal focused, right? Where we have historically had specific SaaS solutions for legal, contracts is kind of busted out of that a little bit. Gen AI, definitely. Workflow efficiency, being able to do data calling and mining, doing summarization work, those aren't things specific to legal, you know? So there are other tools out there that are easy to use. They're perfect for what we need to do, and they may not be sitting on the floor at clock. They may not have a booth at LegalWeek, but they could be a very good investment of our time. They might fit better with our ecosystem. So we have to, like you said, put our egos aside as lawyers and in the legal tech space. Our space can be very exclusive sometimes, and not everybody is here yet that needs to be with Gen AI, right? There's a lot of vendors out there that they can't be at every trade show, but they're still a really good opportunity for us to embed Gen AI into our day-to-day work.
And one of the things before we wrap, one of the things I want to talk about because it's a personal passion point of mine is how this integrates to managed solutions, essentially. So historically, the people, process, and technology of managed solutions, the technology has definitely taken a backseat. It has been, from a legacy standpoint, a lot about resourcing and a lot about value, but also a lot about output, right? The output now is so easily facilitated by technology that technology starts becoming equal with resourcing. And I'll give a real life example of this. So it's one thing in a silo to go try out some new technology. It's another thing to go try outsource legal services. But what if you want to do both? What if you want to try out the technology in conjunction with outsourcing some legal services? First of all, it's a double whammy in terms of cost savings. Secondly, is if your outsourced legal team is leveraging emerging technology, then you have essentially a support staff where if you are having problems or it's giving you an error message or you don't know how to use something, you have someone a ping away to answer any of your questions, right? So you don't need to open a support ticket. You don't need to go through all of the traditional IT stuff. You have an extension of your legal team helping you out using emerging technology, which is, again, one of the things that lawyers resist the most. So I think now that the people and the technology are on par with each other from a managed services standpoint, it is an unbelievable value prop. And the market, especially as we've approached the end of this year, has been absolutely hungry for it. They want to try new technology, but they don't want to try it in a vacuum. They want folks they can call on a moment's notice or ping on Teams to see whether they can walk them through it almost by osmosis or shadowing. It's an unbelievable approach. And I think if we don't exclude one from the other and we unsilo these two practices, there's going to be a lot of success in terms of marrying the technology with the managed services.
I absolutely agree. And I think that that is a great use case for our law firms to consider,
Absolutely.
right? They're ultimately doing the same things that we do in managed services. So why not find a way that they can do it faster and cheaper for their clients too by augmenting their staff with the right technology?
Absolutely. So, Haley, we're a little short on time, unfortunately, but I want to tell everyone that they can go to morai.com. That's morai.com to check out a lot of what we've been talking about today to unpack these things to get cool marketing slicks if they want to parse through the information. This is obviously a lot to digest in a very short period of time, but you and I have these conversations 20 times a day, right? So it's never, it's always a pleasure to have these conversations. And for those in the market, please let us know, and we're happy to have more of these as well.
Thank you, Kenzo. I've really enjoyed it, and I look forward to the next time we get to chat more about it.
All right, Haley, take care.